Right now we have Glenn Walsh here with us, and Glenn is probably the expert on the history of the building that our studios are located in, which was Buell Planetarium, an institute for popular science for many years. And Pittsburgh's Buell Planetarium Observatory celebrates its 75th birthday this year. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Larry.
Thank you for being here.
And thank you for having me, yes.
And, I said Pittsburgh's Buell Planetarium because I don't know if there are others or not.
There's certainly other planetaria, but I don't think anyone else has used the new name but Buell. I mean, there's Buell is well known up in Butler County in the Sharon area, and there is a Buell, Idaho. Some people went over out to Idaho and from here, I think.
I didn't know that.
They established Buell, Idaho. So Idaho and western Pennsylvania seems to be where the Buells are located.
Well, tell me about Pittsburgh's the Buell Planetarium, 75 years. So that would be roughly 1941.
1941, exactly. It was 75 years ago tonight that Harlow Shapley, who was a very famous astronomer. In fact, at the time, he was director of the Harvard College Observatory. He gave the dedication address for the telescope that was dedicated in the Buell Planetarium building on November 19th, 1941. And it's a very unique telescope. It's called a 10-inch siderostat type refractor telescope. So it's 10 inches. That means the lens objective lens is 10 inches wide, which is a fairly big lens. Then you have refractor means that it's not a reflector telescope, even though it uses a mirror, and that's quite unusual for a refractor telescope to use a mirror, but that's because it's what they call a siderostat type telescope. This is a very, very unusual type telescope. Only three large ones were ever built, and Pittsburgh's is one of them. Unfortunately, all three have been dismantled, and there's no telling when any of them would be rebuilt. We're hoping to get ours rebuilt someday, but we don't know when that might happen. First of all, let me tell anybody who has access to the internet right now, if you want to see a photograph of this telescope, go to spacewatchtower.blogspot.com.
Now, only three of these were made. And do you know where the other ones were placed?
Okay. The first one that was built, well, first let me go back and say Jean-Léon Foucault, who was famous for the Foucault pendulum, which is located on the first floor of this building, he also invented the siderostat-type telescope.
Huh.
However, he was a very sickly man, and he died before he had a chance to build one of these. Finally, in Paris in 1900, a huge siderostat-type telescope was built. In fact, this telescope lay claim to be the largest refractor telescope ever built. In fact, the largest refractor telescope now that's in existence is a 40-inch refractor in Yerkes Observatory in Wisconsin. And the Allegheny Observatory has a 30-inch refractor. But the one built in France for the Great Paris Exhibition of 1900 was 49 inches. The objective lens was 49 inches wide. And they made two of those lenses, one for people to look through and one for photography.
Now, when you're looking through the telescope, what are you looking through? Is it the typical
regular eyepiece, except this eyepiece is stationary. It's located in a control console instead of moving around like a normal telescope would, so you don't have to bend your neck in a strange way or climb extra steps to get to it. The telescope eyepiece always stays in the same position. You only have to climb three steps into an observer's platform to look through the telescope.
So that makes it convenient for kids to look through
exactly.
It as well as adults.
And also, there's another advantage. This telescope can be used year-round in comfort. The telescope stays out in the cool air. There's a glass partition between the telescope and where the eyepiece is located. So people looking through the telescope can stay in a nice heated room during the cold weather.
Now, I don't know why I'm remembering this, but was it possible for more than one person to see the image at the same time?
Only when you're viewing the sun, because the sun, you don't look into the telescope of the sun. We project the image of the sun onto a projection screen. And so so a whole bunch of people can look at the sun at one time on the projection screen, which is nice and safe.
Okay, so it's bright enough to actually project it.
Exactly.
And put it that way. What do you know why siderostat, the origin of that word?
It's from sidereal cellostat. Sidereal, which means stars, and cellostat, which was a term that means the type of mechanism that moves the mirror.
That makes sense. It's amazing to think that it's been 75 years.
Yes.
And did the telescope open a little after Buell Planetarium opened?
Yes, that's right. Buell Planetarium opened to the public in 1939, October 24th, 1939. Of course, I was here then for the 75th anniversary of the building 2 years ago. And so, yeah, it took another 2 years to actually build the telescope before it was installed.
Yeah, I don't remember ever looking through that telescope as a kid.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people don't remember that. The telescope, when it was first opened, the Amateur Astronomers Association of Pittsburgh, they staffed that telescope pretty well, and it was open almost every night, weather permitting, of course. And then over the years, it kind of waned. The funding of the Buell Planetarium kind of had problems, so it kept cutting evening hours. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't open as many evenings.
Oh, that I didn't even think about that. You really would have to be here at night.
Yes, except for when you're viewing the sun, of course.
Yeah.
And also the amateur astronomers, they built their own observatories. They've got one in the North Hills and one in the South Hills. And, of course, you have the problem of Pittsburgh weather, whether it's clear or not. You can't use it if it isn't clear.
Well, and probably ambient light, too,
right.
or man-made light.
Yes, and so I got the observatory back up and running on a regular basis in 1986. And we had open every Friday night, weather permitting, year-round, until the building closed in 1991.
What got you interested in astronomy?
It was mainly the space program when I was growing up. I mean, I grew up in the 60s when the space program was just getting started, and so I was fascinated by that.
So Gemini and then
right.
Apollo.
And my father was a scientist also. He was a research chemist at Gulf Oil.
Out in Harmerville?
Yes.
It had to be amazing. I was just talking the other day about, there's been a lot of talk about the moon. You know, the moon has a PR. The moon has a PR agent now.
Yes, right.
With a supermoon, which yes. I don't believe is an astronomy, a term of astronomy. I think that's the hype came
right.
out. But
yes.
I was trying to explain to somebody a little bit younger than me what it was like when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon. And I can remember I was only 8 and running as fast as I could so that I could see television images
right, exactly.
on the moon. It was such an exciting thing to think.
I was at summer camp at the time. And of course, originally they had planned on the first steps on the moon being in the middle of the night. But then they changed the plans and they put it in right by the end of a prime time television time on Sunday night. So we were able to see it then, and we had to bring it. The camp normally did not have a television, and so we had to bring a special television into the camp to see it. And they could only get one television station in the middle West Virginia.
we're in West Virginia,
near White Sulphur Springs.
Oh, what a great memory and place to see that. And these days. We unfortunately don't seem to have as much interest in space as we did at one time, at least in terms of there being, from a popular perspective, where, you know, a space shuttle took off. yep. You know, we treat it almost like it's an airplane as opposed to something special.
Unfortunately, the going to the big projects cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole idea, we did want space to become a regular, everyday thing. And, of course, it would be eventually it was going to come to the point where it was something people didn't think about as much. But unfortunately, the big projects like going to Mars, I mean, not only money there, we have to really study how the human body can react on a long-term space voyage. And that, there's a lot of problems there, and we have to try to find a correct those problems, get those problems to the point where at least they're manageable before we can really do that.
When you were a kid, did you think you would want to be an astronaut?
I'm not sure. I definitely was just interested in space, but I'm not sure if I wanted to go up or not.
Yeah, I don't think I wanted to go up, but I was fascinated by the science and just everything involved. And there's a lot of fascination and comfort in learning more about astronomy today, whether it's part of the space program or simply looking through telescopes and sort of putting things in perspective, which is useful all the time, but especially in these days. Do you have any recommendations for people that might want to get started with astronomy that have not ventured into that hobby?
Okay, well, you wanted to there's two good ideas. You want, of course, you wanted the Science Center, and you want to go there and talk to some of the people in the Henry Buell Junior Planetarium and Observatory, as well as the Amateur Astronomers Association of Pittsburgh is a local amateur astronomers club, and they can really help you out if you're interested in them. And it would probably be a good idea to get connected with the Amateur Astronomers Association, because they would be able to give you really good recommendations on a telescope. You don't want to just go buy any telescope.
That's good. And I'm sure, what about books? Are there any go-to books for learning? I don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I don't know any books offhand. I mean, but there's plenty of stuff you can find on the internet, though.
Yeah,
and you might start there.
And there's a lot.
NASA has an extremely good website.
I'm sure that's a great.
Yeah, NASA's always been good in public relations and trying to get people interested in space. So.
Well, 75 years ago, on this very spot, on this very day, we're sitting that big 10-inch Siderostat telescope. Went into operation. A lot of people had to be excited about that. And there's a website where you can see a picture of it as well as more of the history of it.
Yes, it's spacewatchtower.blogspot.com.
Thanks. And this is Glenn Walsh, who worked here in this building as part of Buell Planetarium and Institute of Popular Science for many years, and remembers those days. Anything else you wanted to add?
My blog, I have a long blog on the history at that address. Once again, spacewatchtower.blogspot.com. And of course, if you have any questions, my email address is there. You can email me and ask any more questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Glenn. And take a look at that telescope and remember history, and know with pride that Pittsburgh had one of only three of these beautiful telescopes, and ours came into operation today in 1941.